From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Great Ministry of Little Men. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, contains the account of two men, Tola and Jair, whose ministry is summed up very briefly in those verses. And yet, in spite of their seeming insignificance, these men have important spiritual lessons for believers today. As Dr. Cairns is showing, smallness is not an obstacle to usefulness for God. For the greatness in the work of the Lord does not depend on the greatness of men, but on the greatness of our God. Tola was from the tribe of Issachar, whose name reflects the carrying of burdens, and Tola certainly did that. The biblical record also reveals Tola's weakness of failing to continue in faithfulness to God's work. However, failure on the part of a Christian does not necessarily eliminate that person from being restored to usefulness to the Lord, for there is cleansing and restoration in the blood of Christ. Furthermore, in spite of their humble background, Tola and Jair were promoted by God to serve him as judges of Israel. Here is a lesson that any service God gives us is a promotion. May we serve our God faithfully in the place of his choosing. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Heavenly Alchemy. The text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 20. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Their particular sorrow was the death and absence of their Lord, and it was turned into joy when he rose from the dead and showed himself in their midst. All the sorrows of saints shall be thus transmuted. Even the worst of them, which look as if they must forever remain fountains of bitterness. Then the more sorrow, the more joy. If we have loads of sorrow, then the Lord's power will turn them into tons of joy. Then the bitterer the trouble, the sweeter the pleasure. The swinging of the pendulum far to the left will cause it to go all the farther to the right. The remembrance of the grief shall heighten the flavor of the delight. We shall set the one in contrast with the other, and the brilliance of the diamond shall be the more clearly seen because of the black foil behind it. Come, my heart, cheer up. In a little while I shall be as glad as I am now gloomy. Jesus tells me that by a heavenly alchemy my sorrow shall be turned into joy. I do not see how it is to be, but I believe it, and I begin to sing by way of anticipation. This depression of spirit is not for long. I shall soon be up among the happy ones who praise the Lord day and night, and there I shall sing of the mercy which delivered me out of great afflictions.
Trust in God.
We often see the word revival on a church marquee. And yet, what really constitutes revival? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the western coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. And yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying out for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak makes available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
are many Christians, sometimes behind a smile, they're hiding a heart that's crushed and a life that they believe is useless. You feel the Lord. There was a time of crisis and you failed. The call went out and you didn't answer. You've wandered, you've tripped up, you've done this, you've done the other thing, and how the devil will pile on the agony and pile on the guilt, and he'll tell you you're through now and God is through with you. But the great message of God's love and grace for his people is altogether different. And out of the Gileadites, with all their failure, God could raise a Jair to stand resolutely for him. Out of your misery and your failure and your backsliding and your sin, God can lift you up. He can give you cleansing. He can give you purity. He can give you new power. He can give you new purpose. He can set your feet in the right direction. He can again fill your life with the joy of the Lord, and he can use you. The last thing in the world the devil wants a believer who has failed to grasp is that failure is not final. That there's restoration and there's usefulness in the service of the Lord. Their smallness. They were insignificant. But their significance. And finally, and very, very quickly, their service for God. Let me just outline that service for you. First of all, their promotion. They were indeed promoted by the Lord to be judges. We see a great token of God's grace here. I don't want to get off on another tangent, but if you look at the book of Judges rather differently than we have been looking at it, and if you try to get the whole book in a historical framework, it appears that around this time of the judges, God was raising up quite a number of judges. He was raising up men in greater numbers, with greater frequency. That was a mark of grace. When the Lord starts calling preachers, that's a good sign for America. Not just when there are more preachers, mind you. The Lord knows there are thousands of preachers in this country, and there's a lot of them. If you were to put them all together, they wouldn't have enough power in them to blow the head off a dandelion. But when God calls preachers, that's a different thing. For he has a purpose in so doing. These men were promoted. Chapter 2 and verse 16 shows you that it is the Lord who was putting the judges in their place. They were called of God and they were given a place of service. Now I say they were promoted. That sounds strange, having said that they were small, virtually unknown, and all the rest of it. But they were promoted. Let me tell you, if God gives you any work to do, that's a promotion. And you'd be well off doing it. When I was a young fellow in the Free Church in Belfast, you've often heard me say this, and I know that some of you just shake your head and say, well, that's prejudice. But I happen to be able to judge in this matter fairly objectively. We had, in those days, what I considered to be the finest gospel preaching I have ever heard in all my life. In those days, Bert Cook was the top of his powers. He's had many, many health problems. He's still a fantastic preacher. But in those days, the preaching was such as I have never heard from any other mortal being. When I think of powerful evangelistic preaching, if I could preach like that, I say, Lord, let me preach like that. He never did give me his talent, but at least I could admire it from a distance.
But here's the thing to humble the preacher. Do you know that probably more people remembered another man out of that church rather than the preacher? Standing at the door in that little church, and I can well see it to this day, the dull, dark, dank winter of a Belfast night, people trudging their way up the church path. They were wet, they were cold, they were uncomfortable. And there standing in the door was a man who's now with Christ by the name of Jimmy Edgerton. And Jimmy would hold out his hand. His face would break into a smile that you couldn't imagine. And you had just walked into heaven when you walked into a handshake with Jimmy Edgerton. The word sweet is used of people, and it doesn't come natural to us in Northern Ireland. I don't mean sweetness doesn't come natural, but we don't normally use that word to describe it. That is rather a word that would connote insincerity. I know it doesn't here. But in its best sense, Jimmy Edgerton had the sweetness of Christ. Jimmy couldn't preach. He didn't even make a good job of giving his testimony in an open-air meeting. He certainly couldn't sing. He gave very liberally to the work of God, but he was just a very ordinary working man, and he couldn't give all that much. He gave all that he could, and sacrificially. But it wouldn't count for much with the world. But God gave Jimmy a ministry. And I would to God that he would raise up people in every free church and in this one with the same ministry, whose very smile would make a stranger feel at home and a visitor say, "I'm going to come back." We're not all preachers. In the church today, we have people who want all to be chiefs, but nobody wants to be an Indian. You know, Lord, if I can't be this, I'm not going to be anything. But the Church of Christ, it's not a business. We're not here in competition. The Church of Christ is a living body. He is the head. We are the members. Have a look at your own body. For every movement that is perceptible, discernible by the eyes, there is a multitude of activity that is unseen. For every member that is seen, there are members that are even more important and they're unseen. You powder your nose, you ladies. You're very fond of its shape and all the rest of it. Well, it sounds gross, but you can live without your nose. I had the horrible experience of having to visit a man whose entire nose had been eaten away by cancer. It wasn't the lack of a nose that killed him ultimately, it was cancer. You could live without your nose. You can live without your teeth. You can live without your complexion. Look, you can live without your arms. You can live without your legs. Those are the things that people see. Those are the things in which we take pride. But inside, what nobody sees, there are things without which you'll not live for a minute. And it's true in every church. Preachers are seen, elders are seen, deacons are seen, musicians are seen, people to the fore are seen, and people think this is the church. No, that is pure popery. It is popery that makes the church a hierarchy of visible people, and the ordinary faithful are nobodies. But the Bible makes every member a powerful, important part of the body of Christ. And I tell you today, however insignificant and small you may be, God has a work for you to do. And when God gives you a work to do, that is promotion. Accept it. Go and do it.
and do what he sets to your hand, and do it with all your might. If you're waiting for God to call you to the mission field, why do you sit back here tonight and do nothing? The strongest possibility is he'll never call you to the mission field. But if you're on your knees praying for the work in the mission field, praying for missionaries, praying for souls, when you're pleading with God to send forth laborers into the harvest field, yes, then he'll put his hand on you, and very possibly he'll send you here or he'll send you there. And whatever he gives you to do, remember what God gives you. No matter what men think about it, it's always promotion. A preacher needs to keep that in mind. In business, you only, unless you're forced, you only change upwards. In the work of the ministry, I don't know what the Lord has for me. I could just as easily be called of God to go to a handful of people who have nothing but a need that God ordains that I should help to meet. And if that's the will of God, I'll go. And that for me would be promotion. Then notice the protection they afforded to Israel. They defended Israel. The word defend is used. Chapter 2:16 again, that was the specific work of the judge, to defend Israel. Now time will not allow me to do more than say that the defense was against further Abimelechs within and against enemies without. Protection. The service of the house of God, the people of God, is a service that defends against internal corruption. Now, you start there with yourself. It's very easy for you to judge my sin. See, that doesn't hurt you. The easiest thing in the world is for you to tell me how to get right and what to do and how to live and how not to live. And that's dead easy. The Westminster Confession of Faith rightly talks about Christians and the prevalency of corruption within them. The old man. The service of God always has as an important part a curtailing of the enemy within, dealing with sin. And then victory over the enemy on the outside.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.